This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest with me, Sharmila Ganesan, Kelly Anisa, and Lim Suen. Before the break, we were talking about the history of Earth Day, and now up next...
Yep, so a team of scientists have actually found a way to prevent brain cells from sustaining irreparable brain damage, you know, as blood stops circulating and even to potentially restore some of the cell's functions. Mm-hmm. So the brain is known to be unable to survive without a supply of blood. So within seconds, oxygen supplies deplete, electrical activity fades, and unconsciousness sets in. And if blood flow is not restored, within minutes, neurons start to die in a rapid, irreversible, and ultimately fatal wave. However, an incredible new discovery with pig brains may actually change conventional wisdom.
Yeah, so this study was carried out by a team of scientists at the Yale School of Medicine, led by Professor Nina Sestan. They sourced 32 pig brains from a slaughterhouse for their research. So 4 hours after their deaths, they were placed in the Brain X system, which pumped oxygenated synthetic blood through the brain. So the circulating fluids also contained other nutrients and protective chemicals that prevented degradation of the brain cells. So this was carried out for 6 hours.
Can I first say that the fact that the system is called Brain X is just taking me straight into like a sci-fi film.
Right.
And so compared to the control brains that they used in the experiment, even 10 hours after death, the organs that were hooked up to the Brain X system had not decomposed. Their cells and neurons were apparently on par, even in better condition than for the pig brains that were analyzed 1 hour after death, without having been hooked up to the system. So the team found that the circulating fluids successfully flowed through the blood vessels in the brain, including the tiny capillaries.
Mm. Yeah, and incredibly, the brain as a whole even managed to consume oxygen and glucose from the circulating fluid and then release carbon dioxide back into it at a similar rate to an intact brain. Mm. So when the brains were eventually dissected after the experiment and they were flushed off the Brain X fluids, the researchers also found that individual neurons were actually still able to function. So this meant that the cells actually retained the function that they had when the body was alive.
Okay, so Professor Sestan did emphasize, however, that while the cells were able to function, that it was not a living brain. It was a cellularly active one. What this shows is that the process of cell death is a gradual one, and some of these processes can either be postponed, preserved, or even reversed.
Yeah, and despite the stunning discovery through this research, questions of ethics are inevitable when experimenting on animals, even if it was just the brain. Mm. So one particular point of interest was the possibility of consciousness in the brain.
Right.
So the team said that while the Brain X fluid was circulating, there was a constant monitoring of the brains for any signs of organized electrical activity that might suggest consciousness. So should it occur, they were ready to administer anesthesia to stop any activity.
Yeah. However, they found no signs of consciousness, and this includes things like different parts of the brain sending signals to each other. Mm. And the team also maintains that it remains unclear if this technique could actually lead to restoring consciousness in the brain.
Yeah, but experts have still raised questions, whether conscious activity may have been recorded if they didn't use substances to block brain cell activity. So
right.
This was the type of chemical that was included in the circulatory fluid. So they questioned also whether these substances were enough to safeguard against the brain's capacity to actually feel pain.
So basically, if I'm getting this right, the brain was... This substance was actually put into the brain along with the
yes.
with the fluid, so that brain cell activity would be blocked.
Yes,
thereby theoretically, if consciousness were to happen, it would be prevented by this.
Yeah, because all they wanted was to see if there would be functions of the cell, but they wanted to take steps to prevent the possibility of consciousness. But at the same time, they were still aware that it was a possibility, and they took steps to prevent that.
Right. Mm.
And so, to be clear, the Brain X research did not breach any ethical guidelines for research. So the animals used were raised for livestock, and thus they were exempt from animal welfare laws. So, however, it still raises some ethical confusion as there are no clear guidelines or ethics committee to monitor situations where consciousness is a possibility, however remote it is.
Mm. Yeah, and we wanted to understand more about what this meant. So I spoke to Dr. Azlina Ahmad Anwar, a neurogeneticist, earlier today. So here's a clip from that interview. In this study, you know, the scientists found that there was no consciousness in the brains, but they described consciousness as an absence of different parts of the brain sending signals to one another. Could you perhaps explain more about what that means?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good question. So the whole area of what actually consciousness means is still quite open. And in a way, how they have defined it in terms of just different parts of the brain being able to talk to each other as a conscious brain in a way that is a little bit simplistic, because people have been sort of looking at, you know, where does consciousness reside in the brain? Is it in one particular part or is it across different parts? I think they probably had a problem with defining what consciousness was. So this is just one criteria that they used to be able to explain whether or not they thought the brain was conscious.
And is this different from how we generally as people view consciousness? We generally view consciousness as being able to think and process thoughts, but this wasn't what they were looking for, right?
No, so I think they just wanted to look at something very simple. They just wanted to know whether or not the brain cells were still alive and able to function. Because I think generally we sort of believe that, you know, if the brain doesn't get any oxygen, even within a short period of time, that then you have brain death, right? And the cells then won't be able to function. And so they wanted to just sort of see whether this truly was the case, that, you know, if you cut off oxygen supply and blood supply to the brain, can you hours later still see some activity in the brain cells? So that's kind of just, you know, they just really were trying to answer a very basic question.
And they managed to restore some of the cells' functions. But what exactly were this function? What did that mean?
So they did many different things, but basically what they were able to do was that they were able to show that the cell still metabolizes things, meaning that there's still some biochemical activity in the cell, meaning that the cell is still alive to a certain extent, right? Now, and the other thing that they found as well was that the cells could still kind of communicate with each other, so they were still able to send signals. But whether or not this was a true indication that the cells were still alive and kicking and super healthy and, you know, trying to be revived, that one we don't know, because, you know, it could be that the cells were already dying, but they were still showing this level of activity. So I think more work needs to be done to kind of explain that finding further.
Going back to the idea of the possibility of the pig's brain regaining consciousness, what are the ethical problems that would arise if that did happen?
So I think probably people don't have too much of a problem with the with the animal work part. The problem that I think the public would have is when we think of, well, what does that mean in humans, right? And how do we now define death, right? Because a lot of the time, the doctors will say, well, you know, they define death as when you no longer see any activity in the brain, like when you are brain dead, right? But if actually that definition of brain death is not entirely accurate. Now, I'm not trying to kind of scare people and saying that criteria is not correct. That's not what I'm trying to say. But the ethical problem here is that if there is some kind of activity still ongoing in the brain, at which point can we declare death? And in some of the commentary that has been written about this work also talks about other issues that perhaps, organ transplant, and for example, that then brings into all those other talking points. Yeah.
So with the study like this, you know, what does the result mean for future research, especially on reviving brain activity in humans particularly?
Yeah, so I think it's opened up a huge Pandora's box I mean, I think in the lab, we have known for decades that actually it is possible to take cells out of the body and to grow them outside the brain, and other parts of the cells from the body as well can actually be grown outside the body, in vitro, as we call it, outside the body. Mm. And they grow perfectly healthy for weeks. So I think the way forward is now what they have been able to show is if we can now look at it in an intact brain, right? So they were looking at the whole brain. And that really is very interesting because things happen in an intact brain that we could never see just if we grow the cells separately in a dish or in a container in the lab. So their study has kind of opened up a huge possibility in kind of understanding how these cells, even if they are still alive in the brain, what exactly are they doing? They didn't really go into too much detail about which parts of the brain those cells that they recorded from, where they found those cells. That would also be a very interesting thing to look at, mm-hmm. Because different parts of the brain obviously are involved in different things. So we could kind of, you know, try to understand, you know, do you have certain functions that still remain sometime after you are declared brain dead? And that would tie into possibly, you know, if this is getting to science fiction a little bit, but, you know, if you wanted to kind of restore that function, and possibly could you bring that person, could you restore that function back in a human being, so to speak, bring them back to life? Now, of course, this is very sensational, of course. So I hope that, you know, the listeners out there don't think that, you know, this is anywhere close to the future in happening. You know, they're really just trying to understand. They are at the very early stage. And of course, you know, that brings up a lot of ethical issues. How far should they take it? You know, this kind of work. When would we ever do it in a human being? And, you know, is that even ethical to even try it in a human being much in the future?
So that was Dr. Azlina Ahmad Anwar, a neurogeneticist. So the scientists actually hope that these whole preserved and somewhat alive brains will also be useful for future neuroscience research. You know, it will allow other people to test drugs and study disease pathways as well as neuroanatomy. Mm. It also raises the far-flung possibility of potentially helping people revive brains damaged due to stroke or other injury where there is reduced blood flow to the brain.
So I actually read that once news of BrainX and its capabilities was released, I think quite a bit before this experiment, they already were getting calls from, you know, families of patients that were currently in hospitals who were brain damaged and you know, unable to be revived, and as to whether this could be a possibility for them. So I can see how this kind of research really does, I suppose, bring a lot of potential and potentially also hope to a lot of people. But I must say, like, I'm still trying to wrap my head around around what happened, because conventional wisdom for most of us is that once quote unquote brain death occurs, that's really it.
Yeah.
And that the brain couldn't be revived after that.
I think it's the likelihood of this being applied to humans, it's still, like Dr. Azina said, a very, very far possibility, because in this case, they took the brains out of the animal and studied it in a laboratory setting. You know, we can't exactly take out human brains and experiment on them.
Yeah.
And I mean, if it can help so many patients in the future, if research like this could actually could pave the way for a lot of brain damaged patients or individuals, or like, you know, like you said, like those who suffer from stroke or other injuries.
Yeah, or to even test drugs, to study disease pathways, then, you know, there's definitely a lot of use for this kind of research. I was very struck by this whole discussion on the idea of consciousness and the idea of the ethics of the experiment, because I think one of the safeguards in the experiment was the fact that the pigs that were used were actually from slaughterhouses, which means that they had already been killed for food and then they acquired the brains for research. So they weren't killed specifically for this experiment. However, you know, to me, this idea of what is consciousness, which Dr. Azlina did address earlier as well, is quite tricky, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, like how do you, you know, how would you measure it?
Yeah. Yeah. No one has a particular definition for consciousness. It's different to people. It's different to us, to the average layperson on the street. It's different to scientists, to researchers. So it's a very broad topic that I don't think can be easily answered.
Yeah, I think their definition was the idea of neural activity.
Yes.
Right? Many people who are not from a science, not necessarily coming from a science background, may define consciousness as something else.
Yeah.
And it's also a question of the ethics of it because, if you're subjecting the animal to undue suffering or pain, if you are regaining consciousness, if potentially you're regaining consciousness, then are you then inflicting cruelty upon the animal as well? Yeah. There's so many layers to this that I'm still trying to, I think, understand. But it's one of those science stories that pop up that I think tend to capture a lot of attention.
Yeah, and I remember seeing on social media some. I didn't see much reaction from this because I think it's a bit technical. It's a bit too technical for people, you know, like you said, to just read about and grasp it.
I was seeing tons of posts where it was like, pig's brain dead for 4 hours, then revived. So
in simple form.
Yeah, it does lend itself quite well to like clickbaity kind of articles. Yeah.
I remember seeing someone say, just because we could, does it mean that we should?
Yeah.
But I think those ethical concerns are part of it. I mean, is addressed quite extensively in the article itself.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think people have a different level of connection because in this case, you're just seeing the organ itself versus in most cases where animals are involved in experiments, you see the whole animal. You know, you see them as the cute little creatures that they are. So there's a difference in like how you perceive the experiment.
Yeah, and I think overall, this example really hit home for me was how important it was to have those ethical guidelines in place. I mean, even when it comes to something like consciousness, which is difficult to define, it's important to know, at least within the limits of knowledge, that there are ethics in place, that there are safeguards in place to make sure that the scientists are doing the best they can and that no one is, you know, sort of quote unquote playing God and, trying to seek personal glory at all costs, I suppose.
Yeah, I think most of us know, or at least us here in the studio, we'll be keeping an eye out for future updates on this research.
Because we're science geeks.
Yes.
We did ask you earlier on social media about Earth Day, and we're just checking in very quickly on that poll.
Yes, so we asked you if observances like Earth Day inspire change. 60% of you still voted no, with 40% of you voting yes.
We hope perhaps that it will at least inspire more of us to do, you know, some small thing that we can to perhaps contribute to making the environment healthier than it is today. You can continue to join the conversation at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also check us out on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture. And if you missed any part of our show, you can download the podcast on bfm.my, on the BFM app, and also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Earth Matters, we have an Earth Day special where Juliet Jacobs will be speaking to Professor Dr. Chan Ngai Weng of Water Watch Penang and Professor Dr. Ahimsa Campos Arthes from the Management and Ecology of Elephants on why the Ulu Muda Forest Complex should be made a state park. We'll leave you now with Brain Damage by Pink Floyd, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.